Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
But the thing about grace is that it's a whole bunch of stuff in one. It's the grace for forgiveness of sins. It's the grace to do life. It's the grace to live life. There's grace to overcome. There's grace for the season. How many know that for a season in your life, there's grace to do the work that you need to do. There's grace to be a parent. There's grace to whatever it is. There's grace, and it's all in one. It's all in one thing that God has for us. The same grace that gives favor and room to you and allows you to be a part of the kingdom is the same grace, right, that is given to us in order for us to be forgiven us of our sins. And so I want to break this down a little bit, and I want us just to look at it, because in particular in tonight, that God's grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, that's going to be kind of the focus of this scripture. And we might have heard it, but I want us to focus on it today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 9. Just a little backstory on it. The Apostle Paul has experienced some powerful revelations that only him and God know about, that he even says that they were so powerful, he couldn't even share them. He couldn't even explain them to people or share them because they were just that powerful. Imagine that, you know, God giving you a revelation about something that just blows your mind away. And so it's interesting because he says this, because God has given him these revelations and these understandings and a revelation about the kingdom of God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, the scripture says, therefore, we're going to start in the middle of verse 7, it says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming proudful about what God has revealed to me, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I was given a thorn in my flesh, and he says, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for every person that is here this evening. Father, I pray, God, that tonight it is your word. It's not mine. I pray that I decrease so that you can increase. I pray, God, show us something a little different about your grace tonight. It's so amazing. It's so powerful. It makes so much room for us. And I pray, God, give us the spirit of revelation tonight to know you more, to understand you more, to be better equipped to live the life you've called us to live. Lord, we need you. We need you every day. We need you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And I want to just preach and teach today. And I was so, this person of scripture, this what Paul writes here to me is fascinating. And I always go back and forth from it. And, you know, if you read the word, it's kind of interesting how the word of God, if you've ever experienced this, is that at different times in your life, you can read the same scripture, but a year from later, it means totally something different. How many know what I'm talking about? You read it one day and it means totally different in another situation because that's the word of God. And so this is one of those scriptures for me that I can keep reading, but there's always something new. There's always something that God wants to reveal, and I hope and I pray that this would help you today. But he says this, Paul says, right, there's this, that for in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. What's interesting is that whatever it was that was given to him, it must have been really intense. And one of the things I'm grateful for is that the Bible never says exactly what it is, because I believe that it can be a multiple of things. And I believe that if it was explained as to what it was, then it would take away from what God wants to reveal to us here. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So it was so intense that Paul had to pray three times. And Paul was a powerful man of God, right? When you read about him and what he did and what he accomplished, and yet here he is, he has to come to his Father in heaven and ask him three times to take this from me. Three times he pleads. It's not just asking. He says he pleads. In other words, he begs. And he says, Lord, take this away from me. But it's interesting that God's response to him is that he does not take it away. He doesn't remove this thorn. His response, his solution to whatever it was that was causing him and tormenting him and causing this pain, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And I begin to think about this. I begin to think about our lives. And I begin to think about a lot of times, and this is one scenario, is before we knew the Lord, we were in sin. Right? And then when we give our life to Jesus, those sins a lot of are exposed. I mean, what I'm talking about, when it's exposed. And that's a part of exposing our sin, is that it exposes us, right? And it's supposed to cause us to feel some type of way. Like, hey, I don't feel right. This ain't good. And so that causes us, hopefully, to repent and to come to the Lord. But a lot of times, and you may have said, let's be real today, that there were some things that we did that you might have done when you were a sinner that still kind of affects you today. And sometimes we come into the house of God and we know this, we're forgiven. We have forgiven others. But yet, what has happened in our prior life still affects us today to some extent. Some of us, it's maybe something that has happened to us when we were younger and we've forgiven. And we feel the forgiveness from God. But yet we still deal with the effects of it today. Another way we can say this is that some of you were raised in a particular family and you had no opportunity to defend yourself. And you were involved in things simply because that's the family that you were in. It wasn't your desire, it wasn't your intention for these things to come down to happen, but you were there, and it happened, and yet you come and you know the Lord, and you feel forgiven, and you've forgiven others, and you may have forgiven yourself, yet you still, in some extent, deal with the consequences or the repercussions of that. Some of us, it's like this, is that some of us, we tell ourselves, I wonder who I would be if my dad was still in my life or was in my life. I wonder who I could be today if my mom would have treated me this way. I wonder who I could have been in this moment in my life had I not involved myself in these things. You don't need to raise your hand, but maybe those things have crossed your mind. Or what would it have looked like if I would have made that financial decision and did it differently? Or I wouldn't have involved myself in this relationship or done that. I want you to understand something basic here today is that we cannot redo those times. We cannot relive those moments. We cannot go back into time. And we will not get that time over again. And for some of us, that plagues us day in and day out, and we think about it, and you're in the house of God, and we rejoice, but then there's those moments in your life in which you think, man, if I only would have known, if I would have lived for God sooner, if it only would have been different, and I wouldn't have had to experience that. It wasn't even my fault, but yet, and Lord, I've forgiven it. And that thing where sometimes some people say, well, forgive and forget. It don't work for us sometimes. I forgive, but I surely cannot forget what has happened. This is where the power of grace comes in. This is the powerful and most amazing, the thing I love, and one aspect that I love about God is how His grace works in this situation of our lives. And I begin to look at grace, and one of the things about grace, and usually the definition, and there's a little bit more to it, is it simply just represents the favor of God. And for some of you, these past experiences, these things that you're involved with, things, you could almost consider that they have been a thorn in your side. Maybe for some it is a temptation that is particularly unique to you. And some of you know my story. You know, I had my surgery, and when I was back in 2012, I had a major surgery, and I had to get on, you know, oxycodones and Vicodins and all that stuff like that. It wasn't my intention, but I desire those things now in my body. Never was a plan, never was the intention, but it is something in my side. It is something that I crave that I never have craved before. It's not part of my life. Different things that, you know, you might have grown and you say, God, I wish you could take this away from me, this temptation away from me, yet it's there. It's that thorn. And some of you have been asking God for a long time to fix something, to fix some situation. And you've been asking and asking and asking, and God, you're not taking away. It's not working. What is going on? Well, I want to simply tell you today that I wonder if today that his grace is sufficient for you. Because this is what he was telling Paul. He said, Paul, look, I'm not removing that thorn. That you can't undo that situation, and you can't redo that moment and that season in your life, and you can't get that time over again. You can't relive that relationship, that finality. You cannot do that. But I want to tell you something that I can do for you is that my grace will be sufficient to help you get through what you need to get through. And this is where you and I need to learn how to live. Because there are times that will not be at a place you cannot do it, or stop longing to redo it and stop trying to figure out who you could have been if these things hadn't happened. What you need to say is, God, your grace is sufficient for me. And Paul boasted in that, and I love his response. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. There are some things that you cannot experience from God unless you allow his grace to work in your pain. There are certain things you will not see of God and experience and partake in and see a side of him unless you allow his grace to be sufficient for you. And I looked up sufficient. Sufficient just basically means that it is enough, that it's good, and that it works for you, and it's all that you need, and it works, and it supplies you, and it keeps you going. It allows you to wake up. It allows you to deal with the issues. It allows you to overcome. It allows you to function and be everything that God has called you. As a matter of fact, better than who you thought you could be. And many times we hold on to this. If I only could have, if this would have happened, if I would have had this opportunity over, well, you need to let that go. You did it. You done it. It happened. It went down. But God's grace is sufficient for you. How can I move forward? You can move forward because God's grace is sufficient for you. Well, I didn't learn this. I didn't have this. And this thing is bugging me. But have you ever experienced the grace of God when it empowers you and it strengthens you and it allows you to go forward, and all of a sudden in a place when you should crumble and you should be lost and you should be broken, you're standing strong? And Paul said, I'm going to boast in these things, because all of us have some type of weakness in our life. And if you don't learn how to boast in that weakness and trust God in those seasons of your life, you'll be lost. Because we all have them, and guess what? They ain't going nowhere. You're not forgetting. And so you and I learn how to rely and to trust and to be sufficient in the grace of God. Then we won't be able to press through. Don't ask for the redo. Don't ask for the, you know, it's one of the powerful scriptures. As David says this after, you know, he gets caught up in adultery, and if you know the story, and he sleeps with this woman that's not his wife, and then he ends up killing his husband, if you can read the story. But he is so convicted, because I believe it's Nathan the prophet comes to him and convicts him and tells, what you did was wrong, man. And because he's so burned to the heart, what's interesting is that David's prayer is not necessarily, let me redo it, because he can't redo it. He can't do it over. The deed was done. It was over. The death happened. The deed happened. But one of the things he prays in Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, this is what the grace of God does, is that it can restore to you what you lost in that moment. So for other words, sometimes some things went down, the decision was made, and you lost something in that moment. I want to teach you today, don't try to ask for that moment over. Say, God, restore unto me the peace that was lost. Restore to me the trust that I used to have. Restore unto me the peace and the joy that left me when this happened. Restore me. See, that's what God is more into than having you undo something in your life. He's about restoring you, making you better. And he does this through his grace. He does this through his grace. Learn to pray and to say, God, restore me. Restore my life. Restore my heart. Restore my mind. Restore my soul. Restore my spirit. Restore me. Restore me. Renew me. Make me new again. Make me better than what I was before. Because the Bible says that, as God had said to Paul, he says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness. There's a power for you that comes from the grace of God. There's a power that's available to you that you can't tap into unless you start becoming sufficient through God's grace. And a lot of times we like that word, right? Especially in the world we live in, is about being self-sufficient. In the world that may work, but in the kingdom of God, it's not being about self-sufficient. It's about being God-sufficient. It's about relying on Him for your strength. It's about every day waking up as the devil raises his ugly head and you begin to think those things of what I could have been or what could have happened, how could it be different, that you say, no, I'm not saying that. No, God, your grace is sufficient for me. It's going to help me to get through this. I can deal with the consequences. I can deal with the repercussions. I can deal with the hurts and the pains. I can deal with these things. I can deal with the bad, you know, whatever financials. I can deal with this because your grace is sufficient. I'm not going back. I'm not going to, you know, do those mistakes again, but I'm going to find strength through your grace. That is going to be my weapon. That is going to be my form of strength. That is what's going to help me get through it. I'm speaking from my heart today because I found myself in those moments of thinking, man, if I could just done that over and gone this route, and my wife can tell you, you know, I could have went down this way. And I was tired. And I said, God, I know you're not like this. This is not how it works. You're not the one holding this deed over my head. You're not the one that holds it over people. No, 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 there's something more. And that's when God began to reveal, oh, it's my grace that's sufficient. That's what's going to help you overcome. That's what's going to give you strength. That's what's going to give you peace. And I love it when Paul says, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. I will boast all the more gladly. And some of you, I want to encourage today that you'd begin to learn what it means to boast in your weaknesses. To figure that out in your life. What does it mean that, God, I can boast in these seasons of my life? Because in my weaknesses, it's something I hide. It's something I cover up. It's something that I'm not necessarily, you know, too powerful about. Now, I ain't talking about sin and things like that, but I'm talking about weakness that maybe the temptation of it. That you would learn how to say, God, I need to learn how to boast in you. And I say this, and I've said this before, that honestly, if I could think about all the times in which there was challenges in my life, that if it wasn't for those moments, I wouldn't know God like I know Him today. Can anyone testify to that in your own life? If it wasn't for certain weaknesses, if it wasn't for certain experiences, if it wasn't for particular temptations in your life, who knew you where you would be? Because sometimes, here's the power of it, sometimes the devil, right, he tempts us, but God is a test. Here's the thing about it, is that the Bible says that, Jesus says that we will be tempted. We will be tempted. That will never go. And some of us, that may be a thorn for whatever the temptation may be. It's like, I'm tired of being tempted. We will always be tempted. But it's God's grace that helps us respond correctly. That helps us in those times of temptation. It is His grace that is sufficient. It is that's what we rely on. That's what we trust in. And we say, God, how about this one? When you're tempted with something in your life, whatever it may be, that you would say to it, God, I want you to teach me what it means to rely upon your grace in this time. Show me how to do it. I'm tired of losing. I'm trying to be defeated all the time by these same old things. I'm making a decision, Lord, that you would teach me. You'd make me strong. You'd make me better. You'd teach me how to stand up. You'd teach me how to fight. And I'm going to close with this. Told you I wouldn't be long today. Paul says something at the end of this portion of scripture. He says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly by my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And what he's saying, and what it's saying here, and the implication of this scripture, is that the power of God would rest upon him. One of the commentaries I was reading is that it was like this idea of a tabernacle, the presence of God would rest upon him. How many know what it's like to have rest in the presence of God? A lot of people don't know that. What it looks like to have rest in the presence of God. Some of us, we experience it in church, right? Them tears. But there's a rest that God gives to you. And it's interesting that the power rested upon him in his weakest moments. His power rested upon him. It surrounded him. It gave him a covering. And this is where I go back to the beginning. God knows what you've been through. God knew that you would come and that sin would be exposed. And what's interesting is that he doesn't leave anything out. He's got it all covered. And this is why the Bible says that for God, right? He works all things together. This is how he does it. This is why it clicked for me. It's like, oh, this Lord, this is how you do it. How he works all things together is through his grace. Is that because he can take a bad situation, he can put his grace on it and begin to teach you something through it. And I don't know about you, I'm not a big fan. Some people ask me, man, why did, like, especially in deaths, people say, like, hey, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to so-and-so? And sometimes people will say, well, the Lord needed another angel. And sometimes we try to explain away the hardships. Sometimes we try to explain why someone is going through something. And I've learned over time, you can explain. Only God knows. And I think sometimes it makes it worse when we try to explain a loss and a broken, and that stuff don't make sense. And that's between God and his sovereignty and whatever he's doing, his plan, because we don't know everything. God does. But the one thing that God does do is in those moments, and I want to share with you, is that he gives us grace. That he gives us grace. That's what he does. And that is what we can encourage in people. Look, I can't explain why this went down. I can't explain why this happened in your life. I don't know the whole picture, but one thing I can say is that God can give you grace to get through it. And his love will help you, and his grace will help you get through those tough times in your moments. And it's not just sin. Here's the thing. It's not just sin, because what's interesting to me is that Paul was given this thorn when he was at the top of his game. That's what made me think, this ain't just about a sin issue. That he was at the top of his game. He was doing, God revealed something to him, and yet something was given to him to keep him humble, to keep him level-headed. And so this is what and so I want you to understand this, that you are going to go through things. You and I are going to go through things. It's not just sin. It's just life that we go through. But yet when we have the grace of God, it's sufficient to get through it. Any hardship that you face, it's his grace that'll be sufficient for you. Any issue that you have, any issue as a church, as an individual that we go through, it is sufficient for you. It is sufficient. It will help you. And so learn to hold on to that when you are experiencing those things, and those things are in your life, and you are going through some stuff. God, your grace is sufficient. I can do this. It's enough. It's enough. It surrounds me. It's got me covered. I'll make it through. I'm in it. I'm in the fire, but your grace will cover me. It'll give me, it is sufficient. It'll supply me. It'll keep me going. It'll keep me full. It'll keep me grounded. It'll keep me focused. And it does all these things. So I want to challenge you, church, today, that be grounded in the grace of God. Let it be sufficient for you. Maybe don't necessarily ask God to take the situation, but Lord, let your grace be sufficient. Let it be strong. Teach me. Empower me. Help me to walk with boldness and authority. Help me not to, help me to boast in it. Help me to be proudful with God, not in your own heart, but Lord, let me be proud of you. And to say, God, you've got me through. And I'll tell you from personal experience, man, I look back and I can see God. I know there's people here with those stories where it was the grace of God that got me through. And it's the grace of God that will get you through. The same grace that allowed you to be saved, that had favor upon you, that caused you to say, Lord, I repent of my sin, is the same grace that'll help you today. It's that sufficient. Same grace that makes room. He has favor for you. And that's what grace is. God stoops down and says, I got favor for you, son and daughter. I got favor. I got something special for you. I know you're going through this. I know this is your fight. I know this is your battle. It was unexpected. It was expected, but I'm going to let you. I've got grace for you right now. I got favor for you right now. And I want to tell you, I hope some of y'all will begin to get excited about your battles and your trials. I hope some of you will begin to get excited about you're in it. I hope you can get a little smile on your face when you get home, when you wake up and say, you know what, it's the battle of my life. It is the greatest fight of my life right now. But God's grace is going to get me through. God's grace, it's the biggest battle. If it's not for him, I'm going to die right here. But today I make a decision, I like to say, I'm not going to die in this season of my life. And it's going to be because of God's grace that gets us through. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight, just in the presence of the Lord, just to consider, think about what he might be saying to you. Where does his grace need to be sufficient? The word for today, as we close and do our altar call, is that I want you to understand is that the Lord, he restores. He restores. And because some of us, we've lost. I mean, you lost a lot as an unbeliever when you didn't know God. You lost a lot. But God is into the restoring business. And so I don't want you to look back and say, man, I'm in the house of God now, but whew, if I would have did this and that, you know, stop saying that over your life. Get into his grace. Let him restore you. Let him heal you again. God knew that. For us, it might have cost God. Us growing up or you not knowing God, you didn't know this whole life that the Lord provided. But God knew, and God knew the moment he was going to meet you. This is powerful. God knew the moment he was going to meet you. And so that's why he can say, my grace is sufficient for you. I know I get all that. I've seen it all. But don't let that discourage you from pressing in, from moving forward to having hope. My grace is sufficient. And some of you, some of us here today, you do. You say it over your life, man, who could I have been had so-and-so been here or so-and-so and this and that, this didn't happen like that. And that's been, the words that you're constantly speaking, that's been in your head. And you use that every time you don't accomplish something, or you use it every time you fall short. If I only had this, why this didn't happen, if they didn't do that, if I just... And I want you to stop all that tonight in the name of Jesus and begin to speak over your life. God, your grace is sufficient. I didn't have so-and-so in my life. It left me broken, but I know that your grace will get me through. It'll help me be the father that I've never experienced. It'll help me be that loving person that my mom never gave me. It'll help whatever, it'll fill in what was lacking. Maybe it was bad decision making. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I made some dumb decisions. And maybe you can be like David when he was the man of God, but yet he involved himself in some things that cost him. And some of you here today, you're experiencing, I knew the truth. I lived for God, but yet I went down this road or I did these things. But I want you to pray over your life that you would say, God, restore unto me what was lost in that time, in that season of your life. I believe that today, that some of you need to pray that, God, restore unto me what has been lost, what was stolen from me. Give me the joy of your salvation. Give me that peace. Give me that joy again, Lord. And I want to tell you that God will give it to you. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, God is not going to, he can't give you that joy again, that peace again. Maybe that time of your life was lost. And maybe you can never redo that. But I know this about God, that God can work in a way in which he restores you in such a way that he makes you better. See, God can do that type of stuff. You just look at his word, that he can restore you and open up doors for you in such a way that it can replace what feelings were associated with that moment and that season of your life. But it's only found in the grace of God. It's found in his grace that will help you. It is sufficient for you. And so rely on that. Rely on the favor of God. Rely on his favor and his mercies and who he is. Rely on that more than anything else. Rely on that more than your strength. Rely on that more than what you think you should do. And no, rely on that. Rely on his favor. God, I'm relying on your favor right now, your grace. Lord, I just pray that over our church today. God, I pray that we would begin to rely on your strength. We would rely on your favor, on your grace. Lord, for some of us here today, we have a thorn here that is not being removed. We're dealing with some things, God, and we may have forgiven some people. We know your forgiveness, but it still hurts a little bit. And so, God, I pray today that you would give us a special grace today that would be sufficient for us to get through, to make it through, to work through the financial crisis, to work through the relationship problem, to work through the consequences of past decision making. We're not going to continue to live in this moment of our lives. No, Father, we want to live in your grace that you have for us today. Your word has said it, that it will, you will work all things together. And so we declare this over our life. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Restore unto us what was lost, what the devil stole. Make us better. Make us stronger. Lord, I pray that your power will be made perfect in our weaknesses. Father, we thank you today. And I want to pray for those that today you don't know the Lord. Maybe you need to renew your faith in him. You don't know Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer tonight because this is what it's about. Maybe there's some things you got to repent of. I want to lead you in a prayer. And then we're going to worship. And I want you to pray. I want you to speak to God for a little bit. But if that's you today, say, you know what? I need forgiveness of my sins. I need to repent. I need to repent. I need to get my heart right again. Then pray with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor. Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I want to do what's right. And I know I'm going to need you to do what's right. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for giving me grace and favor when I didn't deserve it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's all stand tonight and take some time to pray, to worship. Take some time to talk to your Father in heaven about maybe restoring some things. Maybe you just got to let him know. Give it to him. Say, God, help me to restore unto me what was lost. Maybe some of you today that you just need to say it with your mouth. God, I'm trusting you that your grace is sufficient for me. Maybe you just got to keep speaking that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Come on, let's begin to speak to our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram @kirchurch.